Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a great show headed your way. So get comfortable. The great teacher, the soothsayer, the man of all wisdom, Randy Smith, is going to be joining us here very shortly to tell us about, well, a lot of stuff. Randy knows a little bit about everything, but in particular, Scottie Scheffler and his very dramatic rise to number one golfer in the world. Who maybe would have thought this just a couple of years ago, but here we are. So we'll talk to Randy in just a minute about that. We'll also look back on the Dell Match Play, the WGC event that propelled Scottie to number one. As he, I'm not saying dominated, but he played almost flawlessly the entire week at Austin Country Club. So that's what we're going to be focusing on mostly today. And of course, the Masters is right around the corner. So we can't not talk about who might be wearing the green jacket. And Scottie, they're going to need a 44 extra long or something, but they might have the right outfit and the right measurements for Scottie. Might be a good time to be getting those measurements to get him fitted for the green jacket. All that coming up in just a minute. So again, thanks for being with us. Frank Bassett is always in our Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing good. I'm packing my bags, getting ready for Augusta, heading out this weekend. So
am I close to that 44 long? What are you? You're a tall guy.
I'm a 44 long.
Oh,
my green jacket's 44 long.
You and Scotty. Well, bring it with you.
Haven't you seen the picture of me in that green jacket? I'm serious.
You and Bubba?
I'm serious. I had a green jacket on in the locker room.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did.
And you're still allowed to get back there, huh?
No, I think I'm banned for life. I don't know.
You and the squirrels.
Yeah, exactly.
The squirrel story, right?
Yeah,
no
exactly.
Squirrels on the grounds there.
You know, I'm excited to talk to Randy. I mean, he's...
Yeah.
He's there. He's on the line. Let's bring him in.
Let's bring him in. Randy, how you doing today? Thanks for being with us.
Well, it's good to be with y'all.
So let me ask you this. You and I go back a long, long ways. And even though you didn't quite make me number one, or really even in the top 5,000.
Good Lord.
5 million. You've done wonders with so many guys going all the way back. But the Scottie Scheffler story, and certainly we were kidding right before we went on the air, that, you didn't hit any of the shots, and you haven't for some of your top players and everything else. But it goes without saying that they, quite likely, Scottie couldn't have gotten there without the help from you. When did you start working with them? How young was Scottie, and what did you think of him when you first saw him?
Oh, goodness, Tim. He was around 7 years old, something like that. And that's kind of when we got started, and, watching him hit balls and kind of being around him. But it started at seven, so, good Lord, what's that, 18 years?
And did you think anything of him at the time? Was he just another seven-year-old? Not to diminish him, but was it anything special at the time or just a raw piece of clay that you had to kind of mold a little bit?
Well, no, the thing about it is, if you've given enough lessons and you've taught and been around players, for any amount of time, you kind of get an idea that there's some talent there. Obviously, you can watch the physical talent. When he was 7 years old, he hit me about at the bottom of my pocket, and I'm 5'10". And he was T90. It was one of those deals where I got a call that a family was going to come over. They had a little kid that just was eat up with golf. He's, 7 or so years old. And he was coming, they were going to look at the club, maybe a place where he could grow up. And I said, well, that's awful nice. And I said, send him out. So sure enough, they came out and I finished. And the funny thing was, I was working with Justin Leonard. So, I kind of have a pretty good idea of starting with Justin about 7, 8 years old, and I knew he was special. Yeah. I mean, you could just tell it by his intensity, the way he went about things. He was going to be a great player. And I walked over and, introduced myself and everything. He kind of nodded. He's sitting there in a 7-year-old in summer, pair of khaki slacks, a little white shirt, and he's hitting balls. And so I watched him. I was going to watch him for 15, 20 minutes and answer the usual questions about them thinking he's the next coming of Tiger Woods. And this is is it. And he's got all this and that. Never was brought up. All I had to do was watch him. And at that age, he wasn't into necessarily how far he was trying to hit it, whatever. He could hit the ball at a target. And when he hit a ball at a target in a very miniature way, it was solid. It was out of the middle of the club face. And so after a while, the 15 minutes I was going to spend with him turned into about 2 hours and 15 minutes. I asked him to hit certain shots, do this, do that. And it got to the point where I knew on first glance that this was something very special. And then over the next 2 to 3 years, I had no doubt that he could be one of the greatest players to ever play. I mean, at an age of up to 9, you know, things get in the way of those deals.
Sure.
You know, but in his case, I don't think that that was any chance of happening whatsoever. He just was very special.
It's a little bit strange when you talk about guys at that age, and I know you've worked with a lot of different golfers, as all the top instructors have, and a lot of them fizzle out. What is the difference between the ones, in your case, with Justin and so many others that you worked with, and Scotty, that stick it out? Because there is a lot of burnout, just like young tennis players. They start at a young age. It's a lot of activities. A lot of practice goes into it. What's the difference? And is there anything you do to try to prevent them from burning out and saying at 15, 16, okay, I'm done with this. I'm doing something else.
Yeah, I've seen it happen, you know, 70-80% of the time.
Sure.
Real talented young players, as they go up, the expectations go up. It's not necessarily the expectations of the child. It's the expectations of the parental group, people around him, other players, whatever their expectations. Well, they expect him. Those expectations eat up a young player worse than the expectations of the player himself. And you have to watch those kind of things. And Scotty, you know, when he was playing golf, he was here every single day. I mean, he came out every single day, but he still played baseball, basketball, lacrosse. He tried his hand at football, but, you know, he got fed up with that because they wouldn't let him play quarterback because he couldn't see over the center's rear end, you know?
And Mark had a guy named Stafford there probably.
This was when he was little. I mean, he did all these things. And by playing the other sports in the team atmosphere, you know, I think that helped him. Plus, he was very athletic. He was just small. And being small, he was going to be limited. But also being small and being a competitor gave him the opportunity to work on things that would make him very competitive. And when you're that tight and you're playing with guys hitting at 100, 120 yards past you in the junior groups, you know, when he would play with them, he had to find a way to get around him. He did that with short game and his accuracy, and he was deadly, to say the least, at a very early age. So you could tell there's another way you look at it. So this kid right here, we work on the short game. He got into the short game. You know, this is cool. I can hit a bunker shot. What's this? I'm going to hit this bunker shot, and I can spin it. Thank you. So, you know, it's one of those situations where you could tell every little step there was something special about it.
We're talking with Randy Smith. He's a golf coach for a lot of top golfers in the last 30 years, 40 years, but in particular Scottie Scheffler, who's just risen to number one in the world. What about that rise for him? It didn't seem that long ago that Frank and I would talk about some good young golfers on the way, and certainly Scottie's name came up, but it seemed like just – in the last 2 years, he and Will Zalatoris, because they're both Dallas kids and young and top junior ranked and all that stuff, it kind of got on the scene. But it seems to me, and maybe I'm losing my mind here, but it's been such a meteoric rise in the last couple of years of will Scottie make it, get his tour card, get a win, all the different things, to suddenly be number one. It seems almost mind-boggling to me how quickly that's happened to him.
Well, you know, and I could understand that because he's had such a good 6-week stretch. You know, and those are magical. And he'll be the first one to tell you it's magical when things like that happen. And, you know, he's playing some really good golf right now. So the focus is really on the 6 weeks of this meteoric rise. But, you know, in fact, somebody told me the other day, in fact, it was Rex Hoggard told me day before yesterday, he said, Randy, I have a stat for you. I said, what's that? says Scottie Scheffler went to number one in the world 42 days after his first victory. He says that's unheard.
Yeah.
And I said, well, okay. And he said, Tiger made it in 252 days.
See, that's what I mean. That's crazy.
So that's not Tiger-esque at all.
It's a bit meteoric, but at the same time, he hadn't won, but my gosh, look what he's done. He's been a top 10 machine, especially in the Masters, you know, and number one in the world, you know, he crept up without a win. He'd gotten to 15 in the world.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that big a jump for him, but to me, it wasn't that big a meteoric thing suddenly, or will he make it, because he succeeded at every single level. 90 junior tournament wins, three high school state championships, United States junior amateur champion, college victories, three All-American titles, two Corn Ferry wins, player of the year on the Corn Ferry, rookie of the year on the PGA Tour. As you can see, that bar just keeps going up on a very steady ascent. You know, so there was nothing really meteoric about it.
And I think the rise to number one, in my eye, watching what happened, he did it at this tournament that is just a grueling grind of a week playing in the match play. And he, you know, he persevered. And that to me is... That's a huge, huge win for him.
Well, excellent. I mean, it was beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the year before, he finished second in the same tournament.
Yeah.
And went the same way. So he took a bunch of, you know, okay, if we're going to do this, I'm spacing myself out. And I'm going to space it out all the way through Sunday afternoon. And let's just take it step by step. And he learned from the year before, because he really kind of started. It wasn't too good in the finals against Billy. Of course, Billy didn't play last year that good in the finals. But he learned so much from that finals match against Billy that he wasn't going to let anything like that happen again, which was so very obvious the way he played on Sunday.
One of the things that really – well, first let me back up. My wife and I both, I mean, we've followed Scottie and watched him, because we both – although I don't know him – yet I'm going to get to meet him hopefully at the Masters, but the first thing my wife said about him is what a sweet smile. He just looks like a really fine young man. And I thought that about him this whole time. And then listening to Teddy Scott in his interview yesterday live on Golf Now, where Teddy Scott said, you know, I wanted to get on the bag for Scotty because he's such a fine Christian, and I wanted another Christian with me like he had with Bubba. And, you know, I have to applaud that, because to carry that mantra in this day and time is a chore. I mean, it's just tough, and kudos to him. But when his father hugged him and told him, I'm more proud of the man that you've become, that's when my wife and I both broke out in tears yesterday, or Sunday, in that tournament. It just, I'm so proud for him, and I cannot wait to meet he and hopefully his wife and family. He just, what a fine young man. He's something else.
Well, that's what I mean. He is so very special. Yeah? I'll give you some examples, because the way he was treated by, you know, great players, other great college players that were here at Royal Oaks, other great tour players that were here at Royal Oaks, and members here at Royal Oaks that took him in as a little kid, you know. He's come up through that deal, and it's so funny to watch him right now, Frankie. He's here hitting balls. He may be here tomorrow. And when he is, there's going to be four kids there with him. Just like he hounded other players when he was a little kid, these little kids are vacillating to him, and he loves it. He engages them. He brings them in. He looks forward to seeing them. There are four of them. They're good little players, too. And every one of them are just like he was. Each one of these four are sponges off not only the way he goes about his practice, playing, or whatever, but how he goes about interacting with other people, how nice he is, how considerate he is. I mean, the things that he does that are not fake, they are all so very natural to Scotty. Yeah. And the beauty of it is what these other kids watching him are taking away from the same thing he took away from the other guys that were here before him.
Yeah, good on him. I mean, what a role model. He is the epitome of what we all of us that love the game so very much and respect the history of the game could not have a better role model, in my opinion, than Scottie Scheffler right now at all.
Well, I think Frank, too, to that point, it's and he reminds you of Jordan Spieth, doesn't he? I mean,
yes, very much.
Says anything bad about Jordan Spieth?
No.
All good things as far as his character and all that goes. Yep. And I think it speaks, Frank, to the Texans and to people from Dallas. We're all that way. Just so you're clear on that.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
in Dallas.
I've played golf with you, Tim. I've seen your temperament with the Hazels.
Sweetest person in the world. they all come from Dallas. Hey, we're talking with Randy Smith. He's, I believe, are you still emeritus at Royal Oaks? You got that title?
Yeah. Yep. You know,
he was there as the head pro for 40 years and now still there working with different guys, but out on the tour and seeing. So let's move ahead here and go to the Masters. Next thing everybody's thinking about. And by the way, the update on Tiger is there is no update. He hasn't said anything yet as of us doing the podcast.
There is an update.
Oh, go ahead.
As of just a few minutes ago, Tiger Woods, his plane is on the tarmac in Augusta, and he is on the course with his son.
He's having a practice round.
He's having a practice round to see if he can if he can handle it.
That being the case, Randy, no matter what, whether Tiger plays or not, I don't think anybody's going to favor Tiger to win this. You mentioned before Scottie and Augusta. What do you like about Scottie at Augusta and his chances to maybe pocket his first major?
Well, if I look at it, just I don't know if I can find a better match of a golf course. Everybody says, you know, you've got to hook the ball around Augusta. You got to hit that draw tee ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's two holes. But that's number 10, and you got to really sling it there. That's one hole. And you might need a little work with the draw off number 14. You might draw it off of, you know, 13. You need to draw it a little bit off 13. But that's what they make 3-woods for. And he does that beautifully with his 3-wood. But the rest of the holes, if you look at them, you can play a straight ball to a slightly left to right high ball flight and or a low left to right ball flight off the tee. And it sets up beautifully on almost all the holes that are there. Scottie has the ability to play the highest ball maybe in professional golf if he needs to. Or he has the ability to bring the ball flights down and chip the ball around to keep him, you know, to keep him in every hole that he plays. The putting stroke's in really good shape right now. He feels comfortable with the putter, and his short game is as good as you're going to get. So all those ingredients go into a really, really good week at Augusta. Plus, he loves the golf course. He really enjoys it.
Are you going to be there, Randy? Are you going to Augusta?
Yeah, I'm going.
Well, good. Well, Randy, do this. If you get a chance, I have your number, and I'll give you mine, or you have it. You've got my 904 number. I'll give you my direct phone, my personal number. Holler at me and come down and sit down. I'll buy you an adult beverage or a semi-adult beverage or lunch or whatever right there at Azalea House. We'll be doing live shows every day there, and that's where we're hanging out. I have a house right there on Azalea Drive that I stay in every year. So, and we'll be there at the hospitality, and you are welcome to come down and hang out anytime you want to. We have shuttles, and you can valet park there if you want to, or it'll shuttle you up to the course, whatever you need.
Nice. Very nice. We might have to look into that. I've got another player there, though. I'm going to be a busy boy.
Yeah, probably.
Old man Palmer is playing again, so.
Yeah, old man Palmer.
He's one of our favorites. Ryan, remember when Ryan had his shoulder surgery several years ago and he couldn't play in Jordan Spieth's event?
Yeah, his charity event.
The charity event, the foundation. Yeah, and I was there for that event until Ryan came out. And all he and I did was hang out there on the 17th hole all day and just close to the.
Were adult beverages involved there too as well, Frank?
Well, I'm not going to speak for Mr. Palmer, but I will certainly tell
They're
you
that. They're always involved. There's always a constant theme here, isn't there?
He looked at me and he said, "Bassett, I'm not drinking alone. Come on." Yeah. Ryan Palmer's game is in great shape right now.
Yeah, he's doing a lot better. He'll have a really good week. He really will.
Yeah, he's another one of our favorite guys out there. Mm-hmm. And we're not supposed to have favorites, but everybody does. So He was a lot of fun because he couldn't play that year at Jordan's thing, so we got to spend an entire day together, and I really enjoyed his company. He was a lot of fun.
Very nice guy, even though he's an Aggie, right, Randy? Even though he's an Aggie, he's okay.
Yeah, you got to help an Aggie out every
now and then. You know. That should be a bumper sticker. Got to help an Aggie out every now and then. Hey, Randy, before I let you go, one last question I had about Scotty. Again, getting to number one in the world, there he is on top of the world. It's got to be almost surreal for him to think about where he's been and what's going on. And for anybody, we're talking about the world of golf. This isn't just being a top player in Major League Baseball or an NFL. This is the world. Anybody on the planet can play. And there's great players from all over the planet, as we all know now. You're the top of the whole heap. It's kind of mind-boggling. But it also comes with a lot of baggage. It comes with a lot of perks. I mean, the money comes, and suddenly maybe it's changing for where you stay, your transportation, how you get to places, the different planes that you're taking, things like that. Is that, and I'm getting kind of deep here, but as a almost a father figure for him, a guy that's been around him for more than half his life, can Scotty handle that okay? Because that sometimes can be a bit overwhelming when so much comes your way, and it is life-changing, and I'd imagine a lot of things in his world have changed in the last year or two.
Well, all I can say is I sure hope he gets into the private planes a little bit. I think he's there because he saves so much of the valuable time by using them.
Sure.
And, you know, that is something I think that I would totally encourage. It's an expense of what you succeeded doing. It's just an expense. So I look forward to hopefully him breaking a plane out here pretty soon because it just saves the doggone much time. But I'll give you a little bit of an example about how this is affecting. He'll come to the club today, probably later on this afternoon. You know, he's resting up a little bit. He'll drive in the parking lot. Now, I want to tell you, it's a nice Yukon XL he's driving. Mm-hmm. It's a nice one. Only thing is, it's 7 years old. It's on its third transmission, and it's over 400,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And it's the same vehicle his parents used to take him before he really got the big driver's license and everything, right there before he was driving a lot. They put the family in the car to go to junior golf tournaments, and this was the car that they went in. Plus, it's the same car his parents, before they gave it to him, after college, how about that? Yeah. Which wasn't but two and a half years ago. Yeah, they gave him that car, let him take it, and they went and got something else. So he's got the Yukon XL with 400,000 miles on it. And the seats are worn just perfectly. You know how they wear where they get that little bit of crinkle in there?
Yes, right. I do.
Sure. And the foam, you know, got a little bit of foam that's sticking up through the seat, you know.
That's,
one of the speakers doesn't work real good, you know. But I tell you what, it's a nice ride.
That's lucky charm, Randy. That's what it is. That's got to be it.
That's about how much he cares. Yes, he cares. He wants to feed his family, wants to take care of his business, and the money comes. Yes, that's wonderful. But as far as him letting all the things that are flying at him, he's compartmentalizing them. He's taking care of the things he can. The one thing he's going to take care of is him, his family, himself, which I'm so proud of him because he does his work, works out, does his stretches. He eats like a horse, but he eats, if it's not Chipotle, it's always healthy. You know, he's doing the right things to take care of himself so he can play at the highest level. But as far as all the glitz and the glamour, I don't think you're going to get Scotty caught up too much in the glitz and glamour.
Good for him.
Good
for him. Yeah.
Well, Randy, we do appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I know you're really busy, and there's always another Scotty Scheffler probably in your pipeline that you're working with. So we'll talk to you again soon, and hopefully maybe you and Frank can hook up in a couple weeks or 10 days or so at Augusta and have a beer and talk some more. We'll be doing shows from there too, so maybe if you got time, you can jump on with Frank and I when we're in Augusta. And we'll best of luck to your guys there, to Ryan and to Scotty the week of Augusta. And, boy, that would be a thrill to see one of those guys win and walk away with a green jacket.
I like green.
Yep. Green is nice. Randy. Thanks, Randy, so much. Looking forward to seeing you.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Thanks now.
Take care.
You too.
Randy Smith, golf instructor for Scotty Scheffler and the number one golfer in the world. I think it's a great story. And I was kidding, but I'm not really kidding, for Frank, in the Texas sense that I think fortunately, now there's, you know, problems everywhere, but there's just, I want to make sure we give credit to the parents. Good parenting, because bad parenting, as you know, for junior golfers, junior tennis, junior whatever.
It. You and I have both seen
high school basketball players, whatever,
everything.
Can ruin the whole thing for some of these kids that have a great future until mom and dad mess it up.
Hey, so let's take a quick break and then come back and talk a little bit more about the Masters and all this and then wrap up the show.
Okay, let's do that. Thank you again to Randy Smith for joining us. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We got some more to talk about, so stick around. Frank and I will be back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we will return right after this.
Golf Talk America wants to welcome a new sponsor, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it is America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen with meals ready in around 30 minutes or less, plus quick and easy meals including 20-minute recipes and low-prep and easy cleanup options provide an even faster route to putting food on your table. Okay, so let's talk money, because a lot of people assume you pay more for HelloFresh because of the quality and how much easier it makes your life. Wrong, wrong, wrong on so many levels, folks. HelloFresh is actually 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. And you save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. I just tried HelloFresh for the first time. And let me tell you, folks, I absolutely love it. No kidding aside, it was easy. I was skeptical, but the food was super fresh, easy to prepare, easy to clean up, and the portions were absolutely perfect. Not too much, not too little, just convenient and delicious. Ready to try HelloFresh? Go to HelloFresh.com/GTA16 and use code GTA16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/GTA16 and use code GTA16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. How much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? Too much. Then why not consolidate your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? Pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. That's the key, fixed rate. LightStream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 4.98% APR with autopay and excellent credit. That's much lower than the national average interest rate, which is almost 20% APR. So, just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/GTA. That's LightStream.com/GTA. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/GTA for more information.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you as we were talking in our first segment with Randy Smith, golf coach, golf instructor for Scotty Scheffler, and how well Scotty's playing. And we talked about going to the Masters, the green jacket, putting it on. He's also number one in the world, and there haven't been that many, although, Frank, I can't tell you the number, but I believe, since I've been covering this, or number one golfers as far as ranking, I think that goes back to maybe the mid-'80s or something like that, somewhere around the Greg Norman era. They started actually doing world rankings. So I don't think any time during Arnie or Jack or any of those, they were ever ranked back in those days.
Yeah.
But since they've been doing it, I think there's only, I could be wrong, but in the 20s, you think that's right, Frank? Maybe 21 guys have been number one in the world?
You know, I'll have to –
something around
I'll get our crack staff on that.
I think I'm right on that. And some of them, like Luke Donald, didn't last very long. You know, yeah. There have been some guys like Martin Keimer, I think were only there
Adam Scott.
Few weeks. Some of them jumped in and jumped right out again. But some, as we all know, Tiger did it for about 47 years. But others have really? Kind of come and gone, right? But it's not that easy is my point. There have not been that many to make it to number one. And so for Scotty, whether it lasts a week or it lasts 5 years, is tremendous for him to be able to get to that ranking. And he knew that was on the line, Frank, too, and he had to win and beat Kisner.
Did you see
match play? And he did it. That was a lot of pressure, but he did it.
It was. Did you see Kisner's face after Scotty had kind of chillied that little chip into the bunker, and then he holds the bunker shot? Kisner looked like he was going to go back to his bag, pull out an automatic weapon, and shoot him.
He looked like he was ready to cry.
All right, well,
I have said this. This is my, and I texted you. And this is my criticism of Kisner, and I have nothing against him. I don't know him at all, but. I think he needs to chill a little bit. I think he's the over intense guy, you know, nothing. And I'm kind of the guy that likes whatever you're doing, assuming you're getting to play pro sports of whatever kind for a living and doing very well doing it. You got to beat, right? You got the world, everything's going good. Seem to enjoy it. And there's some guys, and Kisner seems to fall in this category, that never seems to me to enjoy it much. He seems like he's always in a grinding mode. He's snarling. He's staring. And I'm like, that's great. I want him like that on the Ryder Cup. I get it for that. But some points you get, and he never seems to really take a breath. On the other hand, Scotty, as you said, nice smile.
Smiling, having
fun. Seems like he's having a good time. Even when he, you know, bogey two holes in a row or suddenly things look bad, he didn't let it get to, that's, I like that.
You're right, though. Poor Kisner. I mean, he didn't know what hit him.
His putting,
you have to give it to Kisner, though. His putting was really off on Sunday.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And so that
he
cost him.
He missed some putts that were bad putts for pros. I mean, he'd miss by 2 feet
right,
to the right, and you'd be like, whoa, how did that?
Yeah, what is he doing?
Yeah, he just didn't have his game going, so it's unfortunate for Kisner. But, Scotty, by the way, just so people know when we talk about world rankings, there's an actual point average that comes out. He's barely number one. It is number one, but here's his number. He's number one, and his point average is 8.294. Rahm is 8.217.
Yeah.
So it's very – and then right behind is Colin Morikawa, who's at 7.8, then Victor Hovland, 7.5. They're all kind of jammed up in there. The top 10 are all within a couple. Back in the day, if you remember Tiger, when he was in his dominant role, Tiger's – point average would be something like 16.63. Second place would be like 6 or 5. You'd have like a 10-point gap, where now they have hundreds or tenths of point gap. Tiger was just blowing away everybody back then. But, yeah, Scotty's there right now, so that's pretty cool.
Well, we know Tiger's in Augusta right now. He has his son with him. He's
interesting.
He's walking the course.
How'd you get that? Did you have like the chairman of Augusta personally call you?
I had somebody from Augusta contact me.
Nice.
They said, Frank, he's here. I went, what? Yeah.
I want to come back as Charlie.
You and me both with that golf swing.
Hey, you want to get on the jet and go to Augusta for a little practice? Yeah, Dad, let's go do that.
Really?
I mean, from his place in Jupiter, it's probably what? It's less than an hour.
On that Frank jet? Jet? Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Yeah. Did you like how Randy said that? I actually thought this is where my mind goes. When Randy said, talking about Scottie Scheffler letting anything get to his head or any problems, he told it was UConn story, but he said, well, I'm hoping he gets the jet. And I'm thinking, because Randy's going, because I'm going to be right there on the tarmac.
Well, I was
going
to say that.
With my thumb out going, let's go, boy. Let's get over to Augusta or something. But he was saying, no, it just saves him the time, right? He can get somewhere wherever he wants to go. He doesn't have to go to the airport and wait and go through terminals and all that. That's the privilege of being that good. That's one of the motivators, let's be honest, of being that good as you can. If you're Scotty Scheffler, John Rahm, Dustin Johnson flying private jets.
Bill Mickelson.
All those guys. But going up against, you know, in the world rankings, if you go all the way down to near the bottom and you're taking on, you know, Kevin Streelman, who might not be in that category, it seems like you've got a bit of an advantage over Kevin Streelman, you know, and Jonathan Vegas and all these other guys who are going through terminals and airports and renting a car and get all the things the real people do. Meanwhile, while you're doing all that, I'm hitting balls. We're practicing, so
yeah,
it's an advantage.
Well, Phil's private jet isn't going to do him much good this week, I understand, because he is not going to be at Augusta.
You know, Frank, we can go back to that, and I still don't understand the – and it was self-imposed.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
Augusta didn't tell him that he couldn't come or anything else or any other tournaments. He just kind of backed off. And again, when you look at – let's look at the Oscars, all the things that go on in the world, and that is the world as we know it, Frank. Things are always changing. The Phil thing would have blown over, right? There would have been some new thing coming on that – good news, bad news, whatever. And Phil being on the headline – in the headline wasn't going to last that long. Now, if he wanted to take time off because he himself wanted to clear his mind or get right inside, okay, I get that if that's really what he wanted to do. If he did it because he thought, boy, this has really been a bad week of PR for me, in essence, and as I've said this before, he criticized the Saudi royal family, who a lot of people have criticized and had issues with, so it's okay, that's some holy grail that you can't go in there. And he criticized the PGA Tour for being money hungry, if you will. All right, well, that's maybe mean. Again, big corporations often are criticized. If you're Elon Musk and you run company, you get criticized for having a lot of money and doing. I don't know who he offended so much that made him think, oh, I need to back off so that I can. I don't think he needed to do that. He did, and that's his choice. But I don't think that people are going to go, you know, he didn't offend somebody's personal life. He didn't hit anybody.
He didn't talk about somebody's wife.
Yeah, he didn't do anything to me that was that horrendous. He said what a lot of people say, which was, I use one really rich entity against another really rich entity to try to better my situation and maybe other golfers. Really? Because LeBron's never done that. You know, Kobe's never done that. Larry Bird, all the athletes do that. They're always trying to use one Callaway against Titleist to see who gets the better deal for the clubs.
We
right?
do that.
I mean,
so what?
Yeah, so I don't understand why that was so horrible for people to grasp.
I don't know, but I'm sure more will come out of that. I mean, it'll be a topic of conversation with all the golf writers and all that at Augusta. That's where, you know, our annual meeting is. We all get together.
Are you taking the Golf Talk America jet?
I am.
To Augusta? Well, you are. Okay,
I am.
Good.
Well, it's we're in a lease deal, but I'm still taking it.
But fuel costs are going up, Frank. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
It's okay. Hefty. It's already been paid for and stored.
is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Well. I don't fly commercial anymore. Are you kidding?
Oh, why would you?
I wouldn't do that.
Your time is valuable.
My time is valuable. I have to hurry up and get to the
You're like Scotty Scheffler.
The bar.
There's bars that are closing.
Bars that are closing.
You can't.
Well, we're going to, you know, we're all going to be at T-Bones. We're all going to be at Reinhardt's. We're all going to be at Azalea Hospitality and up the hill. And it's a fun week. I mean, it's a lot like the Players' Championship. The Masters is my second favorite. You know, the Players is my first. But
and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I looked at this recently. The weather
going to be pretty
spring
nice.
And winter was good, though. I'm saying in some past years they've had some deep freezes, hard freezes rather, and
tornadoes. You know, one year,
it's hurt the trees and the grounds and the, you know, all that kind of, even though Augusta always pulls it together. But sometimes I think they've had a mild winter. I think the course will look, as it always does, pretty much, but exceptional. And there, I don't think they're going to have lost any trees or anything knocked down because of the weather. So I think, just perfection once again to be able to see it. I envy you. It'd be a lot of fun to go there and hang out. And the boys at Azalea.
Well, I told you, you know, Elkington a few years ago said, come on, let's go over the course for a while. I went, all right. So I hopped in the car with him and just rode right down. I didn't have my cell phone with me because you can't take them in. So I left it at Azalea House. And here we go right down Magnolia Lane. And I'm like, damn it. What have I done? I could have pictures of coming in. That was pretty special to be able to go down that road.
But if I did go with you, Frank, I was going to be in a cot somewhere out in the backyard.
Pretty much.
So that was kind of.
Well, you aren't going to sleep in the bed with me, that's for sure. So there. I mean, I can see it now.
Why would that be a problem?
You, me, and Pam right there. That would start a story.
Who would foresee that as any kind of a issue for me to not want to jump on a plane and get there?
Yeah, really? God.
Frank, his elbows in my back and my ribs.
We won't tell the story of what you found in never mind. We won't go there.
Oh, wow.
We can't go there on this show. But we used to stay in other people's houses. And
you rent a house and you never know what you're
going to
find.
Never know what you're going to find under the
You never know. You never know.
Thought it was a hair dryer, did you?
I showed some cooking skills there, didn't I? Some grill skills?
You did.
We had some nice steaks.
We had great steaks. We had a lot of fun. That was a party house, you know.
It was a nice house. I had to clean that damn grill for a while. I don't think the people who lived there had ever cleaned it.
After so what you found, that, I figured they're doing something else.
They had that charcoal, like layers of charcoal. I'm like, in there, you guys are going, what are we going to eat? I go, well, give me a second. I mean, it's like, yeah, we got to get that.
We were in there hammering down the Glen Levitt.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Were you there? Steaks. Were you there the year that Laura came in and sang? And
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Laura was at that year at the house.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. Dane, yeah. Remember Dane Bryant, Olivia Newton-John's yeah. musical director?
Yeah.
Laura was in town this past week, and Roger, you know, my good friend Roger Sarche, yeah. her manager, and she has a new song out that's really climbing the charts, and they filmed a music video for it. Well, it's a movie set. I mean, if you've ever seen a music video done the right way, it's a movie set with people and craft services, and it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And she comes in with her gowns, right, the couture mm-hmm. for this thing. She had, like Halston and just all the big name, you know, couture designers. She pulls out a dress that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, straight out of Hollywood. And I said, my God, that's gorgeous. That's like, wow. And she said, well, it should be. I got it from Audrey Hepburn.
No way.
It was a dress that Audrey Hepburn wore in a movie.
From a movie?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And they kept it that long? It's
yes.
It's a 50-year-old dress.
It's perfect condition.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Not that we need to get too much into wardrobe, but.
Exactly.
But is her song country-ish or not?
No, it's not. It's
that's why, I mean, I would think she'd be more in the, not necessarily jeans and boots, but not the gowns, but this is not necessarily country.
Well, this is not really, it's not too country. It's got a little country flavor to it, but not much. Laura's been doing really well on dance charts and the pop charts all over Europe.
Okay.
And they're launching this song, and I can't think of the name of it. I'll tell you on another show. I got to hear it 47 times. Because
Audrey
if you,
Hepburn's gown.
Yeah, it was pretty... and
place.
Halston gowns and
nice.
Oh my God, you know, just that's those things cost more than our house.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, God. A little scary.
Yeah, but anyway, it was a lot of fun, and Dane was there. My point was Dane Bryant, Olivia's. Well, Dane has a new project. He just completed it and showed me the rough cut of the video that they had done. Well, he Olivia and Dolly got together and did Jolene, Dolly Parton's,
oh, yeah.
you know, famous song. Yeah. Olivia's voice, although she's up in age, and Dolly, of course, is way up in age. But Olivia's had some bouts with cancer, as we all know, and
yes.
health issues, and but her voice was stronger than ever, and got to see the video, and it's going to be a special video when it comes out.
I know we're kind of in a bit left field, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
We should call the show Left Field, because that's where we live.
Exactly.
Duck
Hook. Duck Hook.
That's where we play, is Left Field. But speaking of that, you saw, and I don't know if we have talked about this a couple weeks ago, Dolly Parton was asked to be...
Yes.
Considered as a candidate for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it didn't mean she was going to get in there. It just meant she was going to be open to be a candidate and then get voted on to get into the Hall of Fame, possibly for rock and roll. And she, in a world of, we saw in Hollywood just a couple of nights ago, the egomaniacal craziness of Hollywood and what people will do.
Yes.
It seems like nobody would ever turn down any award. Right? You just show, give me an award, I'll show up at a... Yeah. BFW somewhere in
as we've done
in Pensacola to give me the award.
That's a good
and
BFW.
She said no. And she said no. She said
she turned
you know,
it down.
And I gave her a lot of credit. She said, I've really never been a country artist. I haven't produced country.
You mean rock?
I'm sorry, rock and roll.
Yeah.
I haven't done rock albums and rock music. And I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And she certainly knows that her name is very, very famous and well known. But she was being very truthful and honest, saying that's it's kind of like taking Aerosmith and putting him in the country. Hall of
yeah,
Fame.
Exactly. Like, okay, well, she's that way. I mean,
there. So that was really cool. I thought.
Yeah, I've been around her a lot, and she's that way. She's just very humble and very nice, and
very
just
nice
a lot of fun. I mean, she'll boy, you talk about smack talk. She'll get on with you.
Yeah.
She'll do it.
She seems like it.
But Dane Bryant is doing well and doing a lot of producing and playing a lot still, and a great pianist. There was a I can't remember her name either. So we won't go there. We'll talk about it in another show. But Laura's going to come on the show with us pretty soon, probably during Masters Week.
Okay.
And just visit with us and tell us a little bit about her experience at the Masters and how her golf game lessons are coming along and all that good stuff. So,
all right.
We're the Sounds fusion, good. Right?
Yeah.
Some people say we're the confusion, but we are the fusion of all that good stuff. Anyway, it was great having Rick Smith on. Thanks for hollering at him and getting him to come on. And great stories.
Yeah. Randy Smith, I think.
Randy Smith. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just out there today. The music. I'm overtaken
by
the music.
You're not sure my name, are you? Right
Who?
Now?
Yeah.
Hank? I know you, Teddy.
Hank? Teddy? Is it Hank? Who is it? Steve Johnson.
He'll start the music.
It's going.
Forget everything. It's going. Hey, we had a great time. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our sponsors, too. Frank had mentioned Azalea House. They're doing a great job helping us and sponsoring us during the week of Augusta. So Azalea House, be sure to check them out if you're ever needing anything. But not just Augusta, any big events. Azalea Hospitality will be the place to check out for that. And, of course, Club Corp. Check out their website, clubcorp.com. Find a golf course near you. Test the waters a little bit. You remember, one, you get privileges at all of them all over the country. They have phenomenal golf courses all over the country. You'll love each and every one of them. Thank you to Randy Smith for joining us and talking about Scottie Scheffler. Best of luck, Scottie, at Augusta. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews.
Are you
Thanks
finished?
For being with us. And join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.
There you go. Bye, everybody.
We're done.